Our text this evening is James, the first chapter and the 17th verse. And if when you look at it, you say, well, we studied that text a few evenings ago, I'll agree with you. But I like whole wheat bread and beans and apples and several other things, even though I've had them before, don't you? And I want you to see something more tonight as we study this text. This is the Christmas season, and many are thinking of giving gifts. I'm sure that many are thinking of what they might receive. Our text says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift is from above. Do you believe that? Oh, friend, if we're really looking for gifts, then we look to Him. My subject tonight is, God is not Santa Claus. God is not Santa Claus. He is not some jolly old man pouring out candy canes and sparkling trinkets. He's a wonderful Father with a heart filled of love, with love that longs to impart the richest gifts. You know, in Bunyan's allegory, he pictures Christian in his journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city, coming to the house of the interpreter, where he spent some time viewing various acted parables. Among them, he saw a man in a cage, a great cage. In the bottom of the cage was straw, and this man had a rake, and he was raking around in that muck and straw. And every now and then he would find something and hold it up with a great grin on his face, some little trinket that he had discovered in the straw. And Bunyan says, and all the while, there stood one above his head holding out a golden crown. But he never even saw the crown, you understand, because he was so busy raking through the straw, hunting for those little beads and trinkets. God, I repeat, is not Santa Claus, scattering the toys and the trinkets. He has rich gifts, infinite gifts, marvelous gifts. Every good gift is from above. And in this season of giving and receiving, oh, I pray that whatever we may give to our dear ones and to the poor, whatever we may receive from loved ones, shall be included in this repertoire of gifts that comes down from above, from the Father of lights. There's one of these gifts that I wish to study especially with you tonight. It's mentioned in Philippians, the first chapter and the 29th verse. As you study that, notice the verb. What is it? Given. He's talking about a gift. Do you like the package? Does it look attractive? Is it done up with Christmas paper and tinsel? What is it? What does it say that is given to us? Not only to believe, but to what? To suffer. Can suffering be a gift? Paul says it is. And somebody who didn't understand might say, well, Paul, it's all very well for you to talk that way. You're quite an apostle, and people think a lot of you, and after all, you've been a rich man and had a lot of education and standing, and it's all very well for you to talk that way. Do you know where Paul was when he wrote this? He was in the jail in Rome, wasn't he? That's right. He was in prison for Christ's sake. And who, to whom was he writing? What is the name of the book?
Philippians.
Did Paul have some interesting experiences at Philippi? Did he get beaten? Put in prison? The Christians to whom he was writing perhaps included that jailer that was converted and baptized that memorable night that Paul with Silas spent in the prison. Yes, we cannot charge Paul with speaking mere theoretical ideas. He was talking from experience. And he says that one of these wonderful gifts that God gives to those he loves is the gift of what? Suffering. Now, I wonder how it rates, where it stands on the list of our Father's gifts. You'll find the answer to that in Ministry of Healing, page 478. Of all the gifts that heaven can bestow upon men, fellowship with Christ in his sufferings is the most weighty trust and the highest honor. You begin to appreciate what I said, that God is not Santa Claus. Again, I say he's not some jolly old fellow passing out trinkets that glitter and candies to tickle the palate. He has precious gifts, beautiful gifts, shall I say delicious gifts, but included in the list is one, the highest of all the gifts. And what is it? He has luscious fruits of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He has foods for us to enjoy, the sweets of nature. He has wonderful experiences in answered prayer, in miraculous healing. And oh, he has wonderful gifts of fellowship with him in walking beside the still waters and sharing in the green pastures. Yes, beautiful gifts, lovely gifts, happy gifts, but of all the gifts that heaven can bestow upon men, fellowship with Christ in his suffering is the most weighty trust and the highest honor. Somebody called me up on the telephone some days ago and asked me what I'd like for Christmas. Well, I couldn't think of anything. God has been so good to me in so many ways. Of course, if God were to ask me what I want for Christmas, I could think of several things I'd like to ask him. Can't you? I wonder if we'd ask him for this. Of all the gifts that heaven can bestow upon men, fellowship with Christ in his sufferings is the most weighty trust and the highest honor. Did you know the Apostle Paul asked for that? He had such an understanding of God's will and way. In this same book of Philippians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 7th verse, he tells in the preceding verses something of the things that he used to have, the positions, the advantages that men count great. And then he says in the 7th verse, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, the vilest refuse, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Will you read the next line with me? And the fellowship of his suffering. All right. What did Paul long for? To know the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, friends, If we love somebody enough, we want to be where they are, particularly if they are in pain or misery of any kind, right? And Jesus, our blessed Lord, carries the weight and burden of the sin and sorrow of this old world. And how happy it makes him when somebody here on this planet begins to understand and appreciate that and begins to long to share that burden with the Lord. This is the experience Paul had. And he knew that this was the greatest gift that Jesus could share with him, the gift of fellowship with him in his sufferings. This longing for souls, this desire to help others. Oh, friends, I pray that every one of us may share, at least to some degree, in what the apostle longed for. What do you say? Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 6th verse. We are not only to share in the sufferings of Christ by meditating upon his death for us and the present burden that he carries, but as a part of his loving gifts to us, God himself rebukes, disciplines, corrects us, and this is a precious gift. Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 6th verse. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. This, too, is not found on the Christmas tree of old Santa Claus. No. This is a gift which we have to have anointed eyes to discern and appreciate. The gift of correction. The gift of rebuke, the gift of discipline. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. This is echoed in Revelation, the 3rd chapter and the 19th verse. Both Paul in Hebrews and the message in Revelation is echoing this same assurance as given in the Old Testament, both by David and Solomon in the Psalms and Proverbs. The message is one from Genesis to Revelation that those that God loves, he works with, corrects them, rebukes them, reproves them, disciplines them. Why? Just because he loves them. Now you have that Revelation, the 3rd chapter, don't you? Will you read with me the 19th verse? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Does Jesus love me? Oh, yes. We were singing it last week, weren't we? And the week before. Oh, what a wonderful gift this gift of love is. But as many as I love, Jesus says, I what? I rebuke and chasten. Then if Christ reproves me, it's a precious gift showing that he what? He loves me. He loves me. Have we learned to take it that way, my friend? Have we learned to take each experience of pain, disappointment, trial, correction, reproof, rebuke as an evidence that our Heavenly Father loves us? If we have this image of the permissive, jolly old Santa Claus as being the ideal, being the most wonderful thing in the world, we will be disappointed in God, my friend. God forbid that our children should get the idea that the sweeter the dessert, the greater is the evidence that mother loves them. That the more money that's spent on useless trinkets, the greater is the evidence that daddy cares for them. Thank God there are ways to reveal our love to our children in giving them gifts that are attractive but worthwhile. That which can minister life to them instead of adding to the excitement and the pride and the display which are eating the vitals out of the Christian experience of multitudes of professed believers in Jesus today. And dear parents, you and I have the great privilege and the great responsibility of so revealing this aspect of our Heavenly Father's love that our children shall understand that when we correct them, it's because we love them. That when we correct them, it's because we love them. Oh, if we have not learned to do that, let us seek God and study His instructions in the Bible, in Adventist home, in child guidance, in education, in counsels to parents, teachers, and students, until we have learned how to be parents that reveal the Heavenly Father's love, love in correction and reproof, as well as in appreciation. Love that's expressed in giving discipline, as well as in giving tangible presents that delight the eye and please the heart. As many as I love, I what? I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now the next verse. I want to read it to you as translated in one of the other versions. Look, I am standing at the door, knocking. If one of you hears me calling and opens the door, I will come in to share his meal side by side with him. You remember that wonderful walk to Emmaus that Christ took with the two disciples that afternoon after the resurrection. You remember that as he opened to them the scriptures, although they did not recognize him, their hearts burned within them as he opened the scriptures. And when they arrived at their little humble home, what did they ask him to do? Come in. The scripture says that he acted as if he would have gone on, but they constrained him. They said, oh, abide with us. It is toward evening. Come, come. So he went in. And after the meal was prepared, the simple meal, we are told, of bread, he took his place at the head of the table and spread forth his hands in blessing. And they discerned the print of the nails. Thank God, the one that they had invited to come in shared the blessing of his own presence, the revelation of his own love with them. You remember that immediately they went back to Jerusalem to tell the good news to the other disciples. My point is, friends, that one who walked with them that road to Emmaus is walking our roads. That one is waiting for our invitation to come in. You know, someone was telling about an experience that happened over in Japan after World War II, and the Americans were there. Someone decided to get up a Christmas party. So they had quite a celebration and lots of youngsters there and all the trimmings and the things that you would naturally expect at a Christmas party. And one of the little fellows, seeing it all and taking it all in, he thought it must be a birthday party. And he began to inquire whose birthday it was. And then he saw this fellow decked up in red with the white whiskers. And he had found whose birthday it was. He was satisfied. I wonder, dear friend, I wonder, will Christmas be to us a reminder of Santa Claus? Or will it be as the servant of God, the messenger to the remnant, says, Christmas Day, precious reminder of the sacrifice made in man's behalf. I submit to you that any effort to mix the two visions can only lead to disappointment. If we are thinking of Jesus, let's think of him. What do you say? Let's invite him in to every home, to to every experience. Let's be sure that every gift we give is one of those good and perfect gifts which comes down from above. Let us be sure that among those gifts we receive is this special gift, the gift of Jesus Himself. For though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, if He's not born in thee, thy soul is still forlorn. Oh, I want Jesus to come and give Himself to me. Now, more than ever before. What do you say? Yes. He says, I am standing at the door knocking. If one of you hears me calling and opens the door, I will come in. I will come in. Thank God. No, my dear ones, He's not a Santa Claus stealing down the chimney. He's a Savior standing at the door, knocking. Let's open the door and let Him in. Oh, friends, He will bring the true joy, the true happiness to every hour of this season. What do you say? My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, as we enter into a little time of witnessing, telling of our love for this wonderful Savior, let those who spoke last week or the week before listen, and all of the others who would like to, just press your way up here, and let's have a little time of rejoicing and praise to our best friend.
Even though I spoke last week, I did want to have an opportunity while those that are coming. This week we had the privilege of going on a short trip. It was actually a long trip, but it only took us 3 days to travel a couple thousand miles, or a little less than 2,000 miles. And on the way back, we were driving at night and got tired, so we slept for a few hours and got up and kept driving. And by the time it got to be later on in the day and we were coming through Nashville, with lots of traffic, I started saying, Lord, how You love me, to give me an opportunity like this to see how much I'll endure, how much I'll actually go through for You. And I wanted to be home. You know, I knew Wildwood was home, and I wanted to be here. And so I said, Lord, if You'll get us there, I don't know how You'll do it, all these cars, all this traffic, everything that's here. And I said, I don't know how You'll do it, and I wanted to get home. You know, I turned the radio on, and I started thinking to myself, now maybe it'll keep me awake. And you know the things that you hear on the radio today. You can just keep turning the dial and turning the dial and turning the dial, and it seems to be the same thing. You know, I just couldn't find any decent music or anything that I could listen to, but what I was hearing was keeping me awake, believe me. And so finally I said, Lord, this just isn't going to help. This isn't going to work. And so I shut the radio off, and I started listening to the Lord, and He started singing to me. And I started singing back to Him. And my spirits were lifted. I just couldn't believe it, just to have a song in my heart. And I started thinking of what it's going to be to hear the songs of the angels. What it's going to be to hear the things, not Christmas carols, but the things of God. And I just want to be there. I want to be home when Jesus comes, and I hope He'll come soon.
On my trip this last month, I got to go out to Castle Valley and visit with the Damons, and they expressed their appreciation of Wildwood and wanted to give greetings to everyone back here. And I felt, as we traveled through the various states and spent Sabbaths in different churches, that there is certainly a unity of our people together under the banner of the third angel's message. And I just can't wait until we can spend eternity with all our loved ones and with all our relatives all together from Sabbath to Sabbath, and it can be one happy fellowship like we have here every Sabbath. I'm so thankful that the Lord is perfecting all of us to grow into a deeper relationship with Him, be it through trials or be it through happiness and peace with one another.
I was just remarking to someone on a walk back to my house the other night that one thing I felt the Lord was really teaching me was how to handle stress.
Good.
And I said, now that I've said that, I'm going to really have a big one come along and really floor me. Well, you know, I had something come along and really floor me, but it was a little thing. And I thought, just tonight in the service, even some of the things that were said in the song service, as well as what Elder Frazee has presented, just those little things really touched my heart and put me back in my place again. And I'm really glad he's continuing his teaching process.
God bless you. I feel this meeting this evening has been an answer to one of my prayers, or rather a reassurance from Jesus that He wants to walk with me and be my best friend. And I desire this, I think, most of anything that I desire. And I'm so thankful that Jesus is still walking these roads and that He wants to come in and be my dearest friend. I want to open the doors and the windows. I want to open everything in my life to receive Him into my heart.
I thank the Lord tonight for a better understanding of His love and of this gift of suffering. I've never really understood it before, that it was really one of His gifts and the top one. And I've really appreciated these sermons these past few weeks on the love of God. And I think I've understood it better. And I just feel like, as I talk with people sometimes, you know, the Lord really loves us and how much He really cares for us. And as I've met some of the people in the clinic lately, as I look at them, I think, you know, the Lord died for just that person or for just me. And it's all I can do to contain it sometimes. And I really appreciate the opportunity of telling others and telling the Lord how much I love Him.
I'm thankful that He didn't just tell us that the greatest gift He was going to give us was the gift of suffering. But in John 14:16, it said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." And that could be one reason He wants to give us. He doesn't want to. But why we go through the suffering is so we understand what a Comforter is for. Because as that Holy Spirit comes into our heart, then in John 17:3, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." This last week, I believe it was this week, so many things have happened. The Lord has given me many experiences that's been teaching me. And I sometimes, as in Psalm 126, we can weep as we sow, but as the fruits come forth, we can rejoice. A couple who I met 5 years ago, I was talking to them on the phone, I think it was earlier this week, and she told me, "I have something real special to tell you." She says, "We're going to be baptized next weekend," not this weekend, next weekend, at the Town Boulevard Church. And I just thrilled as I realized that through all the years, because there have been times when I literally wept, I just didn't see. I felt like I had done so little. And yet the Lord was working on hearts. Right. It wasn't just me by any means. That she came to the sanitarium. She was a patient here. And it was the efforts of many, many people. Her and her husband. And I just thank the Lord that He gives us tears, not just to make us sad, but that He can give us a comforter.
For those of us who were here last Sabbath, we were able to share in the beautiful experience of baptism. And I just feel very much impressed to offer a word of encouragement to the mothers and fathers in Israel who may be bearing a heavy burden for children who have gone away from the Lord. And I encourage you to keep your prayers active before God, because I stand before you as truly an answer to prayer, and God will honor your prayers.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
I'm really very thankful that
Jesus isn't like Santa Claus, because Santa Claus only comes once a year. Mm-hmm. And I'd really hate to think that we could only have Jesus' presence with us once a year. I'm just so thankful that we can have Jesus with us every minute of every day.
Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord that He can make me willing to come up now and share. And did you ever recall at Christmas time when you give a gift to somebody, that part of the fun of giving is watching their expression when they open it? Well, I know the Lord gave me a gift today in some trials and experiences, and as I've opened them, I want to thank the Lord now for the gifts that He did give.
Good. You're letting Him see you open the package.
It takes a lot of courage sometimes to come up and face you, but I wanted to say that I thank Christ that He came to share my sorrows, and that He will come to be with me through all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending Him away, but just like He promised, He came here to stay, and I had to pray. And Jesus said, "Come to the water and stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, but you won't be denied. I saw every teardrop when in darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. His goodness is so great, I can't understand, but I know that He has my whole life planned. His love for me is a vast mystery. His love loosed my chains, and in Him I am free. But Jesus, why me? Oh Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know that without you, I can never be whole. I thank you for opening all the right doors. I thank you and I praise you from earth's humble shores. Please take me, I'm yours."
Thank you.
I've been thinking about this gift of chastening tonight, of suffering. I've read all these texts before in my life and accepted them, but I don't think I'd ever experienced before what they were really all about, and I'm sure I haven't now. But the last few weeks the Lord has, I think, been giving me some of His chastening in a way that left me feeling, well, just, I wasn't quite sure how to take it, how to relate to it. But He gave me just enough evidence of His love and His presence to keep me going and on His side. And tonight I can truly say that I'm thankful for this gift, and I want to ask Him for more. I want to understand the true value of it. I've been thinking all day of the text in Jeremiah 12:5, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses?" There's horses coming that we're going to need to contend with. I want to learn how to contend with the footmen, that I may be able to contend with the horses when they come. I thank the Lord that it's possible, that we can lay hold of the promises. They're not there just to sound nice. They're there for when we need them.
I'm so thankful for this message tonight. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has given me this gift many times. I'm sorry I didn't appreciate the gift of suffering when it was going on. But I'm thankful to stand here tonight and say that the gift of this suffering has brought me to the dearest friend that I know, and nothing can take it away from me. And that's what it's all about.
That's right.
If this suffering can draw us to Jesus so that nothing can separate us from His love, then that's what He wants, and that's what He desires. I'm thankful for these testimonies. I was especially thankful for that young man's testimony in telling us and giving us mother's courage. And I'm thankful that the Lord is answering my prayers for my children. And I know that He's going to continue to answer and to continue to bring those we love until they're home. And I'm thankful that we have the privilege of praying for one another in our sufferings. I'm grateful for this gift, and I long for more.
I thank the Lord tonight for chastening. Sometimes when we think of chastening, we think of God with a big stick. But really what He's doing is protecting us from what we really deserve most of the time and just letting us see a little of ourselves. And Paul says in Hebrews, "No chastening seems joyous for the present, and I can testify to that over and over again. But I'm thankful that in the end of our chastening experience, the Lord has something good in mind. I remember when I first became a Christian, I was invited to come with a group of friends to a certain situation, and the friends changed their mind, but no one wanted to tell me because they thought it might hurt my feelings, so they just thought they'd let it sort of drag along. And it dragged along, and in the meantime, I made all my plans, and I cut all my ties and everything, assuming that my friends would let me know. But I came to my friends all ready to make my move, and my friends said, well, we haven't told you up to now, but we'd changed our mind and we didn't know how to let you know. And, well, I drove away and I felt just like getting in a fight with everyone on the place. But, you know, I just kept thinking, you know, the Lord knows all about this and He loves me and He knows just exactly what I need. And, you know, I thought of Jesus, how all His friends forsook Him, and yet He still kept His relationship with His Father. And so these friends, about a year later, came back and asked me to help them. And if I hadn't have had that experience of being alone for that year, I could have never helped them. So the Lord knows just what we need in every circumstance, in every situation. And it doesn't always seem joyous to go through the training program, but what a privilege it is. And really, He just protects us from what we really deserve all the way along. And I'm thankful tonight I'm not hanging on a cross. So He did that for me, and He's getting me ready to be with Him, and I'm thankful.
I'm thankful Jesus loves me, and I hope He loves you too.
Amen. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. As we have our closing prayer, if there's someone that would like to be especially remembered in prayer, would you raise your hand? God bless each one. Heavenly Father, we do love Thee, and we thank Thee that Thy heart of love goes out to each one. Hear the special requests of those who've raised their hands. Hear the longing desires deep within our hearts. More than fulfill our highest expectations, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.